Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And with me today, I have a very special guest, Dr. George Swartz, who is going to talk about a subject most of us don't want to hear about, but I'm here to tell you it's vital. So welcome to the show, Dr. Swartz. I'm just absolutely thrilled that you could be here today.
And, well, thanks for having me, Valerie.
Yeah, it's awesome. Folks, this is one of those serendipitous things that happens with holographic projector room. I had been asking for certain things, asking for help, asking to become a better doctor, as most of us do. And Dr. Swartz just kind of wandered in, and we started talking, and it's just an amazing thing. So, Dr. Swartz, would you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, give us a bio?
Sure. I've been an MD, allopathic type MD, for more than 30 years, and I've written lots of books and articles.
We can barely hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah, your voice is so light, it's barely coming through.
Well, let me see if I can do something with the phone. No? Well, how can you hear right now?
It's a lot better.
Okay, that's better.
Is this better? Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing,
yes,
one, two,
that's
three,
very
four.
Good. That'll work.
It'll
Thank
work?
Thank you.
Okay, do we need to start over, or are we on right now?
We're on right
okay.
now.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for hanging in with us, listeners. All right, Dr. Swartz, go ahead and please tell us about yourself.
Okay. Now, 30-plus years as a practitioner, I helped to develop the field of emergency medicine in the United States with the first comprehensive textbooks of the field. And I was doing, you know, pretty much a lot of emergency infectious disease when I had a patient. And this patient kept on talking about the threads coming from her. And I kept on telling her, well, no, this couldn't be threads coming out of these sores. And I kept on following that. She also had had the a very serious methicillin-resistant staph infection, and her chest was kind of being eaten away. But there was a secondary infection in which threads were coming, in which lesions were present, and these red threads, sometimes blue threads, sometimes black threads. And at first I dismissed them, and gradually I began to realize that this was something, a phenomenon was happening that I wasn't used to, that this was something new. Then, gradually, with this particular patient, I cultured a bacteria through a difficult culture, but eventually it was a Stenotrophomonas multifilia, a very rare bacteria, one that usually you find in the earth. And I kind of had no idea it was there, but I began treating it with sulfa drugs, which it responded to. But somewhere along the way, I realized that it was more than just a simple bacterial infection. And as I began researching this more and more, I discovered that there were other people throughout the country who were reporting the same phenomena of lesions with difficulty healing, with threads coming out of all different colors and different ways. And the things about these lesions is they wouldn't heal, or they would heal in a kind of a crater-like fashion. Mm-hmm. And gradually, as I began to research it further and further, they would complain of biting and stinging. And the doctors they'd go to, sometimes 10 and 15 and 20 doctors, who began calling them delusional because they'd be complaining of biting and stinging, and they'd look, there was nothing there, no external insect bites or anything like that. Still, they were complaining of biting and stinging. So with a kind of a slow evolution of thought, I began to realize that the biting and stinging was coming from inside. It was an infestation of the lymphatic channels around the body, and the biting and stinging were actually inside, not outside.
Hmm.
And as I began doing this, I began to use the diatomaceous earth. Now, diatomaceous earth is a very strange substance. It is basically the algae, fossilized algae. For us, it feels like sand, very fine. Apparently, to insects, there are sharp edges. And it's used as a natural pesticide. But as people began putting it on them, and I began making a suspension of this substance about the thickness of mayonnaise, and I began putting it on, I discovered that things would come out from the lymphatics. And I began to see white globular substances, which, and some people began putting out things which were eggs. Then around the time of the full moon, I began to see these globular substances turn into larvae. And then it was clear we were dealing with a worm phenomenon.
Wow.
Now, as, you know, as the evolution of this disease continued, people actually, I said, well, where are the worms? Well, we saw these larvae coming out from these white eggs. But then I began treating one patient. Now, he lived next to a reservoir in Wyoming. And he'd been already to the usual 15 or 20 doctors, and he'd been covered over with perhaps 200 or 300 lesions, and he'd gone from 150 pounds down to 80 pounds, and for all the world, he looked like a goner.
Wow.
And we put him on the antibiotics, and he did respond. These lesions began healing, but a few of them wouldn't heal, and they would just pour forth all sorts of tissue, just granulation tissue. And it was about that time that I began reading about the foreign body reaction which occurs to eggs, worm eggs, and how for the size of the eggs, there's a continuous body production of granulation tissue. So I started just on a kind of a, on a chance to try treating him for a worm infestation, and I started him on Biltracide. I chose Biltracide because of the association with schistosomiasis, and there was some other evidence that maybe we were dealing with something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, the worms. Now, I wondered why I didn't see worms before, but as I asked him, did you get any response? Did you see any worms? He said, hundreds of worms began appearing in his stool, coming from his nose, coming from his skin. He literally had a massive infestation, which weren't seen until after he began the treatment. The reason is because the worms had such a firm attachment to the underlying tissues.
Mm.
Now, other phenomena began being clear. One is that there are areas of bleeding underneath the skin, looking like hematomas or looking like varicose veins. And I wondered what these were about, and then we discovered that it was the worm, the Metasecaria and Sicaria, boring into the vein, trying to find a vein in which it could live.
Wow.
And as the point when it began to live, then it began to drink blood, and we began to see patients with hematocrits that were virtually impossible. I mean, hematocrits of 12 and 14. I mean, virtually being having their blood sucked away from them. And began to see that this was a phenomenon of worms. Now, at that time, I became acquainted with a group called the Morgellons Association.
Mm-hmm.
Discovered that this Morgellons group had also been complaining about a similar type of symptoms. They hadn't yet come to a conclusion as to what the nature of the illness was. But we began treating it and began being in touch with them, and they began referring patients to us. And we ended up treating about 50 or 100 patients and began to see that we were dealing with a massive infestation of worms, which is epidemic across the country.
Wow. This is amazing. Listeners, if you're going gross through all of this, I totally understand. But this is so important, and I'll tell you my experience with a patient with this that I'm realizing now had the same thing. But this is so serious because nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody thinks that we're so clean that we don't have any worms. But, you know, those of us that know about these things, we do know that everybody pretty much has worms. And if it's getting to the epidemic proportions where people are getting sick and dying from this and nobody can figure out what's wrong with you, it's time to listen up.
Oh, I think so, Valerie. People are called delusional. Now, in terms of, at first we thought it was just in the Southwest, perhaps Arizona, perhaps California, or Texas, New Mexico, but began treating people in New York and up in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, up in Canada, Nebraska, and began to see it's a phenomenon literally around the entire country and around the world.
This is scary stuff. And you were telling me earlier, Dr. Schwartz, that that a lot of this we think may be coming from the cattle. And, you know, a lot of us eat meat still. And if not meat, then poultry. Well, it's still meat, but or fish or something like that. So So how prevalent do you think it is with the very foodstuffs that we think are safe?
Well, I think that this comes from a variety of means. Now, it could be whole families are usually or frequently affected. So we know that it can be transmitted through contaminated food and water. We know it can be transmitted through lesion-to-lesion contact. But external sources, we've discovered that there is an orient connection. Now, one of our patients went off and had what's called hair extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a very, very beautiful woman, and she wanted to have hair extensions. And about 2 weeks after she had the hair extensions put in at her beautician's, she discovered that her hair was crawling with bugs.
Ew.
Well, she came back. She had the hair extensions out. The beauticians opened this box, and it came from Thailand. And these insects were all over everything. And it took us a while to kind of figure out what's the role of insects in this condition.
Mm.
Now, we've discovered that the insects appear to act as a vector.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of a vector is the insects are carrying the eggs and larvae, and then they bite. And she was getting bites all over her scalp and over her face. And about 2 to 3 weeks later, she came down with the more massive infestation, and she had these little white globular eggs all over. And then they began affecting her mouth. And with the mouth, it's a terrible problem because they erode the teeth rapidly. Her teeth were literally falling out.
Wow.
And were eaten away by this condition as the calcium was just removed to create these eggs, which were in the mouth.
Mm.
Now, I know that it's gross, but the heck was gross because we're witnessing an epidemic. And the range of states in which we've discovered this and the range of conditions. Now, it's to the point where we're seeing mild forms in people who didn't even know that they had it. They're looking at their skin. It looks kind of crinkly. I call it kind of a reptilian skin. They have a few lesions which don't seem to heal. And when we put the test, we call it the Dinkins test after the person who helped me develop it, we put the diatomaceous earth on. It has a way to extract things from the lymphatics. And at that point, we see the eggs come out. We see various worm particles. We see the black specks.
Mm-hmm.
The black specks usually are found amidst the bedclothes on the sheets. And the black specks appear to be waste products, basically the fecal products of the worm and its components.
Oh.
So we began to treat this, and I said we've treated quite a number of people. Now, it's not a function of cleanliness. We've treated the very rich and we've treated the very poor. And believe me that it's not a function of cleanliness. Some of the people are actually shocked at the very thought that they could have such a thing as worms.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, it's the worm stages which are most difficult. There's a stage at which it's almost like an insect, and as it appears to the metasecaria and cecaria, these are stages along. These things bite and sting and become very, very, very annoying and irritating and painful to a lot of people. And then emerging, as I said, to the worm stage, and they enter into the veins and begin drinking up the person's blood, making them substantially anemic. Somewhere along the way, my partner, my associates, and I began to really seriously begin to treat this, and we finally arrived at cure. And how we were able to cure this is through basically antibiotics, because one of the things that happens is the worm is an organism.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, like all organisms, it has its own digestive tract. And as you kill the worms, it releases all sorts of bacteria into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And the bacteria range from spirochetes to gram-negative to gram-positive bacteria, a whole range of bacteria. So as the treatment progresses, people frequently will have chills and fever because they're literally getting a massive influx from the worms of bacteria as the worms die.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been using antibiotics, and then we've been using a whole range of anti-helminthic or anti-worm substances, which are very effective at killing the adult worm and then killing the larval forms. And then finally, we've been using the antifungal elements because it ends up with so much debris underneath the skin, black dots and worm parts and parts that fungus becomes a secondary problem. And with
already have a problem with anyway.
Yeah, I mean, with the problem, we've been having a 12-week cure. one of the concerns is, as we've discussed with many of the people who have this condition, are the many, many thousands, we're convinced, of people who have the condition who don't know it, who are going from doctor to doctor, who have lesions which don't heal, which have these creepy, crawly sensation, and which have these strange, and it's a bizarre thing, strange fibers.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to tell the listeners about. I had a case a while back, and this poor lady had been to a rather famous diagnosis clinic, and whose name we will not mention, and was seen by the head of dermatology there. And she walked in, and she brought in a little jar of detritus, you know, all this crap that she said she dug out of her chin. And she showed it to him, and the guy would not even look at it. He immediately wrote her out a prescription for Buspar because he thought she was crazy. And she came to see me, and she'd had this for about a year and a half, and she said, nobody will treat me. They won't even look. And, you know, they look at the jar and go, ha, and nobody tests it, and they just think I'm crazy, and they keep giving me medicine for that. And I said, well, you could still have worms and be crazy. You know, I mean, there's no mutual exclusivity there. So I sent her samples out to two labs, one that's quite well known here in Arizona and known for parasitology, and I got the same report back from both labs, which was that it was a pathogenic form of yeast. So I treated that, and the lesion healed up immediately. However, within a couple weeks to a month, this woman ended up in the hospital and almost died. Nobody knows why. She just kind of went into massive system failure, and I hadn't given her anything that was so intense that it was going to cause that. I didn't give her pharmaceuticals. What I gave her was homeopathics, and so it's not the same as, you know, dosing with a strong antibiotic or anything. But the woman never came back for a follow-up, and then I discovered later, much later, that she had almost died in the hospital. And I remember she brought in a little bottle of this stuff. It was the little threads like you were talking about. It looked really gross and like little almost larval bodies. And I sent that in, and both labs said, oh, it's just detritus. It's nothing. And it's not worms and, you know, nothing to worry about. It's just fibers from somewhere. And I said, well, where the heck did the fibers come from? If she's digging things out of her chin, where are the fibers?
Well, we now know where some of the fibers come from. The fibers, some of them are actually produced by the organism. You know, like silkworms make fibers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a model for various creatures which actually make fibers. And some of these fibers are actually made by the organism. In other cases, the fibers come from the environment where they're taken in to the person's body and where they're made into like a cocoon for the organism. Now, one of the things that you should mention, because it's really an important, well, there are two things. One is, there was an old saying amongst doctors, beware of the patient who comes in with a little matchbox filled with skin particles, because these people are going to be crazy. Well, as a result, the people would come in with their matchbox filled with particles, and the doctors would immediately put them into a category of delusional or, you know, or something of that sort.
Which is exactly what happened to my patient.
Yeah. The second thing, and this is a probably much more important, is that the worms have an ability to create a protein which causes mental changes. And the model, of course, is the grasshopper worm, which infects a grasshopper. And as part of the worm life cycle, the next part of the life cycle is that the worm has to go into the water. So it somehow releases a protein which causes the grasshopper to commit suicide by jumping in the water.
Wow.
Now, as a model of behavioral change, that's what we're seeing. Now, how can we correlate that? Well, the answer is that we can correlate it because the one characteristic of these particular worms is that they produce substances which cause a very serious depression. And people who had never been suicidal before start talking about maybe the world would be a better place without them and start talking all sorts of depressive talk. Other people literally lose it, become psychotic, and begin hearing voices. And we've seen this now and are convinced that it is the production of a substance by the worms which produces this depression. Now, somebody said, things always do things for a reason. Well, what's the reason why, you know, why it would cause a depression? Well, we thought it produces an inanition. It produces such a state where the person doesn't actively seek elimination of this, it makes them a better host because they're so depressed, they just be there and be a host towards the condition.
It's diabolical.
Well, it is a diabolical illness, and as I said, I have patients all over the United States at this point, and we've managed to arrive at cure, but sometimes you get calls. I got a call at 4:15 in the morning from some poor family up in Nebraska who had been visited by a young woman a few days before who had lived in the same house. Now, one characteristic which is common is that there's moisture or some leak in the house. It seems to be an environment which is conducive for the growth of these organisms.
Mm.
And so this was a characteristic which occurred. And this couple and their children came down with the condition and called me, and they were living in the same house. So that's a way of transmission. It can come from literally a contaminated house. One of the strange things is that people act like there's bizarre behavior. They go, they leave their house. They start living in motels. They go from motel to motel just to get away from what they perceive and what is actually a contaminated house.
Wow.
Now, one of the other things, which is a very strange phenomenon, is that various rooms in their house become difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into a room and they begin feeling stinging and biting, and they know that they cannot go to their place. So some people go near their computer and they say, I want to stay away from my computer room because that's where it's contaminated, that's where it causes problems. Well, we've discovered, and this is an interesting reverse phenomenon, it's not that the room is contaminated. It is that the organisms that are inside them, when I use the anthropomorphic, they do not like the room for some reason. And they start reacting adversely. Well, the room itself, whatever they is perceived by the organisms, they begin reacting internally.
Wow.
So no matter how much you clean the room, it may or may not have an effect upon the organisms that are within the person.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder if they're sensitive to electromagnetic fields.
Oh, very sensitive to electromagnetic fields. That's one of the things that where they wish to avoid electromagnetic fields. They begin acting in a much more aggressive and biting fashion. One of our patients had a muscle, and we still have yet to figure this out, but every time anything approached this muscle, even a finger, it didn't have to be electric, it would begin to contract.
Wow.
And we couldn't figure out why it would contract, but literally every time anyone got near. Now, another woman said, I want to show you something. And she took me to the supermarket, and she took a package of ground hamburger meat, and she held it in her hands for about 5 minutes, and she said, look at it. It had turned brown.
Wow, that's weird.
This is through the package. I mean, we're just with a lot of weird, very bizarre phenomena. And anybody who's had this disease or knows anybody with the disease knows that this is a very, very strange condition. And as I said, now that it's getting epidemic, we're almost reaching a critical threshold where people are getting aware of it, and we're beginning to see it in places where you'd hardly ever expect. In other words, you might see it in a patient who didn't even realize they had it. They may experience some minimal creepy-crawly sensations, some minimal fibers coming out, and suddenly you see that they have lesions which don't heal.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, this person now has it. And how you diagnose it is with a diatomaceous earth. And it's really remarkable how the eggs come out.
Yeah, and listeners, Dr. Schwartz just did this with me this afternoon. And I got off the magnifying glass and I looked and I went, son of a gun. There's like little white things, you know. And I've got a lesion that won't heal and nobody seems to know what it is. And I thought, okay, this is really very interesting, the timing on this, the way everything's just kind of working out. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to experiment on myself. I'm going to take these different things. And those of you that have listened to me before, you know I'm not against drugs when used properly. And there are times when you need pharmaceuticals. This is one of those times. You don't want to mess around with this stuff. And I always tell people, you know, you can go ahead and take the antibiotics, take the antifungals and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll clean you up afterwards. You know, but get rid of whatever the first cause is that's causing the problem. because the sequelae can kill you. You know, and this is a good example right here. If you have something that you don't know that you've got, and nobody else seems to know, and you've been to all these doctors, and you still got these weird symptoms, and they're not really bad enough to cause you a lot of concern, but they're uncomfortable, and you're getting sicker and sicker and sicker, well, perhaps you've got some of these little worm guys inside of you. And, you know, what a simple thing. Just make a nice thick paste of the diatomaceous earth, mayonnaise consistency, and spread it over, you know, we did my forearm, and spread it over there and see what happens. And I'm a believer.
So we actually prepared a test kit for doctors who, who'll be able to, actually do it in, with drapes, with gloves, with magnifying glass, with little flashlights, so that they'll be able to do this in a kind of an official manner,
mm-hmm.
with a little picture kit of the various things which you'll see. Because of the widespread nature and the fact that the people, as I said, after the 10th or 15th doctor, these people have just about had it. They're at the end of their rope.
Mm-hmm.
And the condition is a very, very real condition. And yet the families frequently won't believe it. They're called delusional.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a devastating illness, and it spreads like wildfire sometimes. And one of my patients worked as an aide in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And literally 50% of the people in the nursing home had this condition. They came in, treated for scabies. Well, there was no scabies to be found. But some of the people were just lying there, and one lady, bless her soul, was 94 years old, and she looked up at this young woman and said, "Help me, somebody help me." She was covered with 400 or 500 of these lesions, and she died from it.
Wow. Ugh, that's scary stuff. But, you know, I'm so glad we're talking about this, because this is kind of a subject not too many people will broach, as you know, and this is not only scary, but it's important to your health. And you know, something as simple as this, one of the things I want to do is have you give out whatever information you'd like to, for people to be able to contact either yourself or someone that you're working with that can help them with this if they're interested in following up.
Well, sure. I think that what they can do is to send an email, drgschwartz@cybermesa.com, cybermesa.com. We're just about finishing our book. The problem with our book, the first edition came out, but then we learned all sorts of new things, so the book is going into its second or third edition. And if a person goes on to drgschwartz@cybermesa.com, they'll be able to order the book. But I'm not here to promote a book, for sure. I'm here because there's an epidemic. Now, you mentioned, where else could it come? And one of the concerns that we do have is other diseases. Now, people are familiar with things called fibromyalgia.
Uh-huh.
Now, the strange thing is I began treating these worm diseases, and lo and behold, the disease called fibromyalgia began going away.
Well, that makes perfectly good sense, because fibromyalgia is in the tissues. And I've told people for years that the stuff they're using to get rid of it is really getting rid of arthritis. And so if you've got arthritis in the tissues, then, okay, that's easy to get rid of. But this is making it much more interesting to me, because it makes total sense with these things going in and forming cysts in the tissues and why they would be in certain areas, you know, in the target spots, basically, or the alarm points, you know. Why those areas could even be charted if they have an affinity for the fibers in those particular areas.
Well, I think that's very true. Plus, I visited with some people who are in the pork industry over in Florida, and these two women said that they won't eat the pork because they find the worms. And they said, there's so many worms in the pork. I said, well, there's no problem there if you cook it up, right? And they said, no, you just keep on cooking it, and the worms stay alive. They insisted.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that if you get enough worms in the muscles, of course you're going to get painful areas. And this fibromyalgia is literally epidemic also.
Yeah.
And the people are in enormous pain, and they take enormous amounts of pain medication just trying to get relief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having discovered that the same medicine to treat the worms will treat this fibromyalgia condition really raises the question of what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other phenomena which we haven't yet put together is a lady with rheumatoid arthritis, whose arthritis with the worm treatment, arthritis began to improve. One lady with multiple sclerosis began improving as well. So we're not sure yet, I mean, as we experiment more and more, we're not sure what will respond and what won't. But certainly the fibromyalgia has a very logical basis for why it could be a chronic infestation of worms in the muscles causing knots, chronic encystment, chronic pain, and why it will respond to the anti-helminthic drugs. Although by the time that they're in the muscles and encysted, they're difficult to treat. And one of the things, you know, if you take the parasite cleanses and the parasite, you know, things over in a health food store, almost all of them say stay away from sugar because, you know, they like sugar. They, you know, these worms and these various other intermediate stages like sugar. Well, I do the opposite because I say to my patients, we don't want to drive these into the muscles. I mean, if so, then they'll just insist, go into some sort of hibernation form. I say, before you take these medicines, you know, eat up, you know, have your candy bars, have anything, bring them into the bloodstream, and then we're going to slam them hard with anti-worm medications.
Excellent. I like that idea, and I think a lot of listeners out there probably like that too. Woohoo, sugar, yeah. And I've often told people, you know, everybody calls sugar white death. I'm like, yeah, it can impair your immune system, but I'm not so worried about the sugar. I'm more worried about aspartame and Splenda, you know, and things like that. And I think the idea that you've got of driving them out into the bloodstream is a great idea. And again, you don't want them encysted. You don't want them in those nice little packets inside the muscles and the other tissues where the medication can't get at them. You know, and I mean, a lot of these medications, they have some pretty heavy duty side effects, people. So you don't want to have to, you know, keep taking them, you know, throughout the year. Just do it for
these are powerful weeks
and get it over with.
But our view of that is we need to use the powerful medications because this is a major health problem. And we need to get a situation where we use the proper medications and slam them and hit them hard so that they will be out of the body. And remember, they're on a lunar cycle. So that you've got to treat them over at least one or two lunar cycles, because whatever you miss on the first lunar cycle will grab you on the second.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And let me just pause for a minute here and tell the listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask Dr. Schwartz some questions, please do call our number, 1-888-268-4313. And again, that's 1-888-268-4313. And we'll be happy to patch you in. And if you are too shy, don't worry. Don will take your question, and he will pop in and ask us to answer that for you. So you don't have to avoid asking the question just because you're too shy to be on the air. This is your big chance. All those of you who have a disease where you're kind of wondering, could this be this particular thing, pick up the phone now. And for those of you that are listening to this on archive, well, you know, you've got the Cyber Mesa that you can email that you can do to get a hold of Dr. Schwartz. So this is something that I'm just in so much joy, Dr. Schwartz, that you walked into the office and we had a chance to talk. This, I think, is one of the big things of our generation now, of our time on this earth, to find these parasitic infestations and get rid of them before they get rid of us.
Well, I think we're dealing. Now, you mentioned the meat, you know, the meat problems. Now, it turns out that much of the cattle population is infested with various liver flukes, sheep liver flukes, and various worms. And while they're treated, you can't treat them all, so you get a situation where, you know, there are problems, and you don't know which cattle are a problem because it's a visual diagnosis. Certainly, if the liver is grossly impaired, the liver is condemned. But it's a visual diagnosis. Nobody is taking out their microscope. So as a result, a lot of things pass by, and you don't know which is and which isn't. You know, somewhere along the way, and I listen with a grain of salt, but on the Coast to Coast AM, they had the time traveler, John Titor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone ever heard him, but one of the things that he said is, in his generation, you know, for those who don't know it, he said he came back from the year 2037 to get a computer part. And he was a time traveler. Well, yes, I said, take that with 2 grains of salt. But the one thing he did say, he was surprised at the widespread availability of meat. Mm-hmm. Because he said in his time, 2037, mad cow disease parasitic infestations had created such a situation that the meat had turned into a local phenomenon, that people would deal with meat, but on a local basis.
Wow.
Where they kind of knew the cattle.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's what we're moving to. Mm-hmm. If these infestations continue. I mean, it's documented that 70% of the cattle in one state are infested. And while they're treated, I can guarantee you that the treatment is not effective if you only treat once.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been treating people, and we just have to treat over and over and over again to really get at these worm conditions.
Well, I'm just wondering, for those of us that do a lot of cleansing, do you think it would be advisable to do one of these 12-week parasite cleanouts maybe once a year?
Well, I think first you have to see. Once you start taking the medicine, you will see the worms, mm-hmm. because they will release their hold on the intestines or the blood vessel. That's when you really start seeing, you know, the worm phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And once you see that, you become a believer, because some of the worms are as long as 2 and 3 and 4 inches. And we're dealing with, as I said, it may be associated with geologic changes, with earth changes, with a whole variety of changes, or it may be associated with, you know, other people have their pet theories that it may be bioengineering, it may be biowarfare. Well, I mean, I take all of these under advisement, and I say that I don't really know what is causing the condition. I do know that through diligent effort, we've arrived at the ability to treat it.
Mm-hmm. And I am very grateful that you have gotten onto this and have this treatment available for people. I'm still in shock. I mean, I know how bad the worms can be in people, and it is not a matter of cleanliness. I know that because I've been through many cleanses myself. I've treated people that had strange worms, but never to this degree. You know, and this is clicking a lot of things in my brain. As a physician, I'm thinking, you know, we just don't hear about these things. I mean, we're lucky if we get to hear about them, because you can't know everything. But, you know, to have something that may be the basis of most of the disease that we have, I mean, my brain's going wild right now. And I'm thinking, you know, it might be a good idea just to treat everybody as if they have this at this point, because so many of the symptoms you've mentioned are so widespread, and people have been to all the specialists. Nobody's been able to help them.
Well, we have a diagnostic kit, mm-hmm. a diagnostic test, and this is pretty critical, because once you begin using the diagnostic test, which has the ability to extract things from the lymphatics, and as you begin to see what comes out. Now, in some cases, we've got some fellow in Sedona who had lesions in his throat, and literally 10,000 eggs a day were pouring out of these lesions. White globular substance. Now, if they go into the teeth, they'll ruin the teeth. I mean, you know, your thousands of dollars of dental work won't mean a thing after these have their way.
You have a caller online. Would you like to me to put them on?
Yeah, please. Go ahead, caller. You have Dr. Schwartz?
Virginia from Michigan. And
hello, I can't hear you.
This is Virginia from Michigan. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear anything. Don, can you increase the volume there for us?
I'm trying. How's it sound now? Can you hear each other now?
This is Virginia from Michigan.
Virginia?
Yes. Virginia, can you hear me?
I can barely hear you at all.
Hold on. How's that?
Can you hear me?
That's good.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. Virginia, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Is this Betty, Virginia?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm so happy you called in.
Oh, listen. Yeah, we'll talk another time.
Go ahead and ask Dr. Schwartz your question.
I was looking real hard trying to find the lab report, and it was just kind of a holistic type of situation, and it came back from the Casey group and that I had worms.
Hmm.
And I can't, it probably was 3 or 4 months ago, and I can't find my paper because I was going to read it to Dr. Schwartz over the phone. Because
hmm.
I'm having some things in my muscles and things in different places, and I'm really sore and I'm having difficulty and I can't figure it out. But I got so excited when you asked about the electromagnetic, and I thought, oh goody, where do we start using that, in the beginning or after we kill the worms or what?
Well, first we get the diagnosis. Now, you already have a diagnosis apparently, so it's important to analyze the diagnosis, see what will be the best treatment for it, and begin immediate treatment, because if you don't, these things will go into the muscles and will be a constant source of pain and distress, and literally it can be for years to come. And the critical thing is to identify it at this point. Remember, you're lucky to find that many people say, I don't have worms, I've looked at my stool, there's nothing there. You may not see them until after you begin.
That's it, I hadn't seen it.
Hmm.
I'm a retired nurse, but that doesn't, you don't go in there and play with your, you know, your BM and see what's inside some of those lumps and bumps and, you know.
But you've got a diagnosis, so you're a step ahead of most people, and the next step is actually to discover what type of worm and to aim the treatment directly at that.
Right. Now, if I come down there where, I call her Dr. Sedona, because she's very special. And I'm sure, Dr. Schwartz, you found out she's just very, very special. That we could maybe do two things at once, electromagnetic and, you know, all the things that, you know, we know about, and work with it on all angles.
Well, I don't know too much about the electromagnetic treatments. I say that because some of my patients have tried various machines, and I don't know very much about that. But I'm sure that Dr. Sedona would know that, and I'd be glad to consult with her as to what, you know, whatever avenues I know. Now, I know that there are all sorts of machines, frequency machines, things of that sort. But frankly, I don't know much about them. But I do know one thing for sure, and this is for sure. People have come to me after trying to use these machines over a period of many months, and they've reached the end of their rope saying, it is not working, nothing is working, could you help me? I mean, one young woman just came, and she came into, you know, into my office where I was, and said, do something. It's been 10 years. She had had a big company. She had, you know, been running this company, which was listed among the top 500 women's companies, and she became devastated by these parasites and lost her energy, lost her will to literally go on. And she now has been, you know, at it almost for the full 12 weeks and feels extraordinarily better. But many people have been going on like that for years.
Right.
Because it gets better seasonally as well.
And you say it comes out more frequently on the lunar?
Oh, absolutely. When you see the lunar cycle, what happens in the lunar cycles is there's some sort of change. Now, one of the things that's happened is that patients will frequently shave their heads because the hair problems have gotten so severe. And
well,
when you put diatomaceous earth on their head, out come these worms. And on the lunar cycle, the worms turn into worms.
I'm just interjecting here for a sec because the sound is so... We've got... bear with me here for a second, please, folks.
Okay.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, I can hear.
That sounded pretty weird.
Is that Don?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can anybody else hear me? No. Okay, can everybody hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you.
Okay, well,
hold on. I can hear you.
And the caller?
Yes.
Can everybody hear me now?
Yes.
Can
yeah.
The caller? Can everybody hear the caller?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Caller?
Yes.
Valerie, can you hear the caller right now?
Yes. Yeah, I'm able to hear her quite fine.
Caller, can you say ABC?
ABC.
And you can hear that, Valerie?
I can.
Okay, good. It's just, some weird. Hear those strange noises?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Just have you got a Pleiadian ship landing?
I'm telling you. It's
maybe Dr. Bell's coming to visit you.
It's strange, isn't it? It really is. I don't quite.
That's very strange.
It is, and.
Well, you know, some of like everything else, there are always strange phenomena.
Can everybody hear each other now?
I totally moved away from my computer and my whole sound system, so
okay.
That noise shouldn't be from me.
All right, well, let's go on, because we've only got, 10 minutes left?
Now, where is Dr. Swartz work from?
Can you guys hear each other now perfectly?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, okay. Can the caller?
Hello?
So, yeah.
Caller, can you hear Valerie?
You lost me.
See what I mean?
I can still hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear Don?
Can you hear me?
He's very...
How about now?
Faded away. Now that's better.
Oh,
okay.
Strange. Okay, well, I'll let you keep going. Sorry
okay,
about this.
Okay, let's proceed then. Go ahead, Dr. Schwartz.
Oh, I was saying, we're dealing with also other issues. One of them is the trade issues. Because of the connection with the Orient, it turns out that many, many of the clothing and things...
You're fading out, Dr. Swartz.
Well, as best I can to speak of, many of the things which come from the Orient, which, you know, which are part of our, you know, many of our stores, things from China, may in fact be carrying various stages of this organism. And so we've been able to detect several methods of transmission. Besides from person to person, we've also detected the Orient connection. We've also detected the coming through meat, various meat connection. And from what we can see, and my research team is at the point of because of virtually every state being involved, we see this as a epidemic, which is waiting to happen. Now you say, what is the CDC doing about it since it is an epidemic? And the answer is, we're not sure. We really are not sure at this point. We feel we're not into sinister theories, and you know, I mean, we really aren't. We just feel that they're so busy with things like the bird flu, and something like parasites seems like old hat to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, yeah, so we basically just have to take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and take care of it ourselves.
Right. Well, I'm real good at that. I have a public health registered nurse background, and so I'm very tuned in to make this priority.
Well, what you might want to do, Virginia, is email Dr. Swartz and see if either he wants to work with you or if there's someone he could recommend in your area to put you on this protocol, you know, and prescribe the pharmaceuticals that will kill off these things and you know, do the program, or you can come up here and I'll work with you, you know, either way.
The major objective is to be in a position where you can get treatment, because I think that fairly soon it will become much more widespread in terms of the knowledge. However, because it has not yet entered into the traditional medical community, there have been, for example, where we ran a conference last year, and a very small conference in which we realized that the name Bergel's disease didn't seem to work. We ended up calling it epidemic helminth infestation. Mm. Helminth means worm. But we realized that until we get the articles in the medical journals, until we actually have serious conferences about this, it's going to be the same situation where the dermatologist won't know about it.
Right.
Call it delusional. Or
no, I would stick with both of you, but probably work right, you know, what I call it, eyeball to eyeball, or work very closely with Dr. Sedona. I nicknamed her that.
That was Dr. Goddess Sedona, remember?
Yes, it's Dr. Goddess Sedona.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do, because I want the listeners to know that I'm going to be doing this myself.
Well, I'll be doing it together.
Because I've seen things come out of me not only today, but I have seen things come out of me before when I started doing cleansing many, many years ago. And so I know that we harbor these things in our bodies, and I know what the difference is. I can tell you there's a huge difference in your energy level and in your happiness when you get rid of these little buggers.
Well,
they're very, very low vibration, and we don't want them in our bodies.
No, my energy level's been dropping, and I'm thought, what in the world's going on? You know what else? I've been dog sitting,
mm-hmm.
and the dogs love me. And so they, before you know what you're doing, they're kissing you on the face or kissing you on the hands, you know. And
oh, yeah.
So,
well, dogs will get this from humans and vice versa.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, which way does that go?
Usually animals can get it from people.
Oh, really? I thought I would get it from the animal.
No, our evidence is that it goes the reverse.
Oh, that's sad.
What about cats?
Cats get it also. A little bit with more difficulty than dogs, but very definitely.
Hmm, interesting.
Wow. This is experiential. I mean, it's pure observational, so we're quite sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like people that have the one-to-one experience, and I'm very thrilled to be speaking with you, Dr. Schwartz, because you're just giving answers that nobody seems to want to answer when you go to the doctor or think you have a problem.
Well, many people just don't know about it. Certainly when I was in medical school, we did not talk about, you know, issues such as this. And this is new. I only got acquainted with it by tracking it down with a patient. I'm like, oh, one other thing. This is a pretty important phenomenon because we're witnessing things like methicillin-resistant staph.
Oh, absolutely.
And other forms of bacteria. Now, these are very difficult to treat. And one of the reasons why we've discovered they're so difficult is if the individual has worms at the same time, the bacteria go into the worms. And then they cannot be gotten out until you eliminate the worms. Because basically they have found safe harbor.
Right.
This is just so diabolical. I mean, it boggles my mind. And, you know, the listeners that know me know that I work on a lot of different levels. You know, and,
right.
and energetically,
right.
and this has made so much sense to me.
Well, I was a public health nurse, and I dealt with it probably 40, 50 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was in the very poor sections where they didn't have cleanliness, and the dogs and the cats and the pork, and everybody was, you know, it was just there. It was everywhere. And so we dealt with the worms then.
It was a different type of worm. And
oh, it was?
Yes. Yes, you're dealing mostly then with pinworms.
So we're talking about like World War II worms, and now these are more sophisticated worms?
Well, basically the climactic changes are such that we're seeing worms that would not ordinarily be seen in the United States.
Okay. Yes. Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Now, one lady came from Africa and came, you know, other phenomena which people might, you know, early signs, hair growth. There's a strange hair pattern, hair which is ordinarily not found. It just kind of seems to grow and easily pulled out. And this is a phenomenon we haven't been able to really determine what causes it, but it is definitely, you know, a sign of it.
Are you talking about hair on the head or hair on the body?
Hair on the body.
Hmm.
The hair on the head have more of a problem of loss. We've seen people lose their hair and have lesions and have very unhealthy hair. The other, I mean, there are a whole bunch of phenomena we cannot explain. Hair which we pull out, which actually move.
Who?
Can't explain it. Why is it moving? But it's doing a jig, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
We're not sure if it's electromagnetic phenomena or it's an infestation phenomena, but the hairs will actually move by themselves spontaneously.
Okay, Dr. Schwartz, you were mentioning that some of the people became, like, mentally ill or disturbed.
The depression is enormous.
Okay, does that mean that the worms are in the brain?
Not necessarily. It usually can mean that the worm is secreting a protein which acts upon the brain in a toxic way, producing serious psychological depression and suicidal ideation.
Wow. This is
I bet it could get in the heart and really mess up your heart too, couldn't it?
Well, we haven't seen much of heart. We have had one patient who had it in the brain, and then when we gave the treatment, he just about had a stroke, and that's a very serious problem, because what happens is nothing worse than a great big dead worm which clogs up an artery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've already done that trick.
Well, this is
it was
sticky
platelet syndrome, and it was the gluten from wheat that clogged up one of my arteries.
Wow.
I've already been there and done that one.
Experience over many years. Now, for years, I've been dealing with that. I wrote a book about monosodium glutamate, which is a toxin in our, in our life, and I saw the widespread effects of that, and I wrote a book called In Bad Taste, the MSG syndrome, and then participated in a book about excitotoxins, about aspartame, which is another poison, which
we're putting
in the food. But I became aware that this is, in some ways, more insidious and more destructive than any of these other things, because this is a disease which has profound effects upon families, upon children, in terms of growth, in terms of overall happiness, in terms of family stability. I mean, it has major effects, that go far beyond just a disease state.
This is something I hope that a lot of people are listening to the show today. And if not, I hope the people that are listening will clue everybody in to the archives when they're actually filed and ready for download, because this is such an important topic. And we're going to have to sign off. We've just got a few minutes. Don's going to whip out the hook very quickly.
Well,
yank us off the air.
Okay. Well, let me hang up, and I've been so grateful that Dr. Schwartz was there and you could share him today.
Yes, we're quite fortunate, and thanks so much for calling in, Virginia, and you and I will talk at another time,
we'll try
on you.
Okay.
And thank you for calling in, and Dr. Schwartz, I am just so grateful.
God bless you all.
And if you would give again your email address for people, I think they'd appreciate that.
Well, sure, it's DRG Schwartz, SCHWARTZ, that's DRG Schwartz at cybermesa.com.
Great. So people can then get in contact with you, and any physicians that are listening could contact you and get the kit. And, everybody knows physicians are too busy to go find these pieces on their own. So it would be good for them to contact you.
It has magnifiers, has forceps, has the mixture already made, has instructions. It's very easy to do that. But I'll tell you, as a diagnostic test, it will tell you quickly where you're at.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating. And I'm very happy that you showed me this, too, because, seeing is believing. And it just makes it so much easier, especially when you have someone of your caliber around to say, well, this is this and this is this. And it's like, wow, this is amazing stuff. So I do encourage any physicians that hear this to please get a hold of Dr. Schwartz and get yourself that kit and start testing it. You don't really even have to tell people what's going on other than you want to try a little test and see if something happens and see if they've got this particular thing. You don't even have to tell them it's worms, because how people freak out with that. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. Schwartz. I'm in your debt. I'm very grateful, and I'm so joyous that you could be with us, and I hope that you'll be on the show again. And let's get this word out and really get people aware of what's going on, because I think you've just given people the piece to the puzzle to really help them to regain the happiness and the life and vitality that they've been missing.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It was surely serendipitous.
It definitely was. And, I have a lot of those things happen with that holographic projector room, and I'm very grateful to Dr. Bell for turning me on to that and really, getting me to the state where I can use this stuff for myself. I'm very happy about that. And listeners, if you liked hearing this or you want to hear more, you can either contact Dr. Schwartz or drop me a line and I'll email it, forward it to him. And we'll have him on the show again. And thank you so much, Dr. Schwartz, and may God bless you, because you have just really helped a lot of people. And this does go international, so there are a lot of people that are going to be jumping on this bandwagon, I can tell you. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions, please drop me a line at info@drvalerienmd.com.
That's drvalerienmd.com. Or you can get on the blog and service site and get onto the Enlightened Medicine Show page, and the listing is there. So thank you again for tuning in, and tune in with us next week, and we'll have more exciting things to talk about. And in the meantime, be healthy, be happy, and bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.